Pardon me. As you're all getting a seat, having a good Sunday so far? Feels good. I know Emily's started a new shift at work, and so she's been getting up really early lately, and I have just felt awful about that. I don't get up with her. I just let her go. So I know Sundays are nice for her because she can wake up a little later and relax a little bit and have a good time. We get to hang out together. I really like Sundays because we all get to be together as a church family and as the body of Christ. And hopefully today we'll be able to get something out of one of his teachings. I think we will be, provided I don't butcher it too terribly. I love to study the Bible. It's one of my real passions is to open up a passage, dig into it, and to see what the author was writing, not only to the people of the day, but then how that applies to us now. I really, really enjoy it. And so whenever I come across a passage that I leave convicted from, I enjoy it, but it's tempered. Because we don't like feeling convicted. We don't like feeling like, oh man, I've been doing something wrong. But I come to you convicted today as we talk about prayer. Again, I love to study. Sometimes I don't like to pray. I guess I talk myself into the idea that God knows what I'm thinking already. And He does. So why do I got to verbalize it? Stop being so lazy, God. Just know what I'm thinking already. Don't make me do it. But as I read this passage we're going to get into today, if we pray like Jesus would want us to pray and have us to pray, then prayer will directly affect our lives, day to day, hour to hour, minute by minute. And that's scary, especially as we get into this prayer. It's really scary. Jesus really expects a lot out of us. Because we expect a lot out of God. We expect Him to do a lot of big stuff for us. And Jesus expects a lot out of us as we pray. And it's not because we're great. It's because the Holy Spirit empowers us. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're primarily going to be in verses 9 through 13, if you guys want to start flipping over there. And the way Jesus starts off His talk about prayer, he first tells all the hypocrites they're doing it on the corners, the street corners and stuff like that. He says, knock it off. He says, you want attention, and that's your reward. So if you're praying to God out on the street corners, if that was what you were going to do after we got out of church, don't, because that's your reward. He says, pray to God in private, in your closet. And He's not discouraging corporate prayer. He's not discouraging us to pray together. He's discouraging us to pray for attention. And in that same vein, He says, you guys who are using all these different big words and trying to make your prayers sound fancy and impressive and things like that, or maybe you're just repeating something over and over or saying different names of God over and over just so you hope one sticks, He says, that's not prayer either. Come to God humbly. He wants to hear from you. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And then as I already talked about, we like to call prayer like prayer life. Have you guys heard that term before? Have you heard prayer life before? Like, how's your prayer life doing? Oh, well, it's prayerful. I don't like that term anymore after going through it this week. And I hope it's clear after we get through this lesson why not. Because He wants us to do it in private, but He wants that to affect everything. We're really good in this culture of splitting up our lives into different sections. We've got even just the clothes we wear, okay? Like I wear different clothes to preach than I do when I work out. I do those about as often, about once a month, but I wear different clothes to each thing. And I wear different clothes to just hang out around the house than when I do come into the office. And when I golf, I wear something different than when I'm mowing the lawn. I don't mow the lawn. Thank you, Joe. I don't have to mow the lawn. But if I did, I'd wear different clothes than when I did going golfing or something like that. And that's fine. That makes sense. But we don't just wear different clothes. Sometimes we're people in different situations. we compartmentalize our lives. And I agree that you shouldn't bring your work stress home and make everyone at home hate to be around you. But we should take our prayers, we should let those become the access, the thing we pivot around, and go from there. Our prayer life should affect the rest of our life. Okay, it's not exclusive. Now we're going to actually talk about what he says. Because in this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and this whole thing, Matthew summed it up earlier in another chapter. Jesus' whole ministry is centered around repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Start living differently because the kingdom demands it. Everyone else is living this way. You've got to live differently. We can't just be the same as everyone else, because to be a kingdom citizen means that we are going to live differently. And this prayer is going to help us start in a different place and go a different direction than the rest of the world. It starts out, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus refers to God here very intimately. He calls him like Abba, Father, Daddy. We've heard that before, right? That you can come to God like that, that God is our Father, He's our Dad. You can come to Him. You can come to Him as if He's a loving Father, wanting to give you the best, greatest things. And that's true. He is a loving Dad. He wants to give you good things. Later on, when Jesus is talking about prayer and asking for stuff, He says, you, who are human, you wouldn't give your son a snake if he asked for a loaf of bread, not unless you were mean. And He says, so your Father in heaven, He wants to give you good things. He's better than you are, and you wouldn't do awful things to your kids. So your Father in heaven wants to give you good things. And so there's this intimate connection we can have with God in prayer. Dad, you know, you're in heaven. We come to you. You're our dad. We love you. Give us what we need. But He balances it. See, over all the years of Christianity, we've had a tough time balancing how we approach God. Either we're too casual, and we come to good old dad, and we, you know, give him a hard time. Oh, you know, how you doing? Or we're too fearful. Oh, God, you're amazing. You're sovereign. You're holy. You're bigger than me. You control everything. I can't even bear to be in your presence. To do one but not the other is inappropriate. Jesus wants us to do both when we approach God. God, you're our dad, but man, are you holy. It's a tough balance to get to. It's a balance that takes submission on our part. See, when we admit that He's holy, that He's bigger than us, that's what hallowed be your name means. You know, holy is your name, great is your name, above everything else is your name. If God's name is above everything else, just imagine what He's like. And it causes us to submit. That's how Jesus wants to start this prayer off. He wants us to submit. We're not first. We're not second. We're not third. We're low on the list. God is first. He's our dad. He wants to give us good things, but He is holy and He is first. That's how we start a prayer. It's through submitting to God. I know when I pray, a lot of times I run through this section. I just sprint through it. I get it over with. Dear God, and then I move on. He's worth a little more than that, right? Than just a dear God. Like, I would write a letter. Sometimes I write letters that are more eloquent than that. As a, you know, dear Mr. So, dear God. So we need to come humbly to God and submit. And this next section of the prayer continues that submission. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, prayer involves a submission of our will. Now, I can admit that I'm not as good as God, but I still want to do what I want to do. Right? That's how we act. Like, God, you're great, but come on, I'm going to live my life. Get out of my life. But Jesus says when we come to God in prayer, we need to do so submitting our will. We've got a few guys in the congregation who are bosses, who manage people, who get the most out of people. They do a good job trying to make their specific endeavors profitable and things like that. And I'm sure that, let's say, Gary, when you're at work, if you said to someone, hey, go do this, they'd hustle over and go do it pretty quickly. Well, if you're paying them by the hour, I understand why. Because that's, never mind. That's not what I would do. Not at all. In heaven, I think it's a bit different. See, God, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's imagine what it's like in heaven. I imagine God's sitting there and all the angels are waiting around, just like bouncing. Come on, give me something to do. I want to do what you say. And he says, jump. And before the last syllable is out of his mouth, jump. They're like, how high? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to jump? You want me to go over here? You want me to go over there? What do you want me to do? In heaven, God says something and it happens. On earth, God says something. It depends if it'll happen or not. If I have time, God. I've got a lot of other stuff on my plate. The British Open is going on right now. I want to see what happens there. I've also got, you know, my house needs cleaned, and I need this done, and I need that done. God, your will is really good, but man, it's time consuming. Could you do like half your will? Can I get half of it, but not all of it? And like a 30-minute will would be great. My day is full of times where I may or may not do God's will. And a lot of you might ask, what's God's will? Well, I can't tell you specifically what God wants you to do for lunch. I don't know. But I can tell you, God wants you to love Him with everything that you've got. And He wants you to love other people like you'd love yourself. That's God's will. Those two things. So you can't say, I don't know what God wants you to do. Yes, you do. He wants you to love Him with everything you've got and then love each other, love other people. And there's plenty of times throughout my day that I'm not doing really well loving God here. I got to finish what I'm doing. I could really help that person right now. I could love that person right now. I'm busy. Can't do it. Jesus wants us to submit. And He wants us to do it at the beginning of our days, I think, with prayer, so that we're ready to do God's will. When He says, your will be done, I don't ever want you to pray that prayer lightly, because that's scary. It's like praying for patience. I never pray for patience on Sundays. Ever. Because then I'll have to be patient all day. God's going to give me all these opportunities to be patient. He's going to make sure all these kids have like 12 bowls of not cereal, but sugar. Just sugar. And then I'm going to have to deal with that all day. So I don't pray for patience. I want you to pray for God's will, but I want you to be understanding what that means. He's probably going to have some opportunities for you to do it. And I want you to take those opportunities and run with them. But don't pray that prayer lightly. And we need to pray that prayer as individuals, and we need to pray that prayer for our church. If we're not doing God's will as a church, we're going to fail. We could fill up this auditorium until we're sitting on top of each other. But if we're not doing God's will, that's failure. You could be super successful in your individual life, making all this money, but if you're not doing God's will, you're not successful. Doing God's will is what we're supposed to be doing. And so I think we need to pray for that as a church right now. So if you take just a couple minutes, a couple seconds, we'll pray silently. I pray that you'd pray that God's will be done in your life. And then I'll close for all of us. Dear Lord, You're mighty and You're awesome. And God, I pray that Your will would be done in my life and that Your will would be done in this church. Amen. So after Jesus implores us to submit, He wants us to submit, first of all. Understand that God is number one and that His will is the thing that needs to be done. He then wants us to trust. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. needs and wants are different things, but in our society, needs and wants kind of get smashed together, right? It goes quickly from, I'd like to have that, to I need that. You know, you walk through a store, and I can only imagine with kids, sometimes this is what happens. You walk through and they say, Mom, I want this toy. And you say, no, you don't need this, you don't need it. No, I need this toy. I need it. And they're right, because if they don't get it, then they're going to have a tantrum. So they need it so they don't have a tantrum, but they don't need it. They need it for you to not pull out your hair or do something worse, but they don't need it. When Christ instructs us to pray for our daily bread, we need to understand first what that culture was like. First of all, they worked for a day's wages. They'd work, and at the end of the day, they'd get paid. And then they'd take that money and they'd go buy whatever they needed, which was food. Food is good to have. And so when Jesus is telling them to pray this prayer, then it's, God, give me the ability to work today so that I can buy the bread that I need to eat today. How many of you guys have a refrigerator or a freezer or anything like that? Is there food in it? Okay. Your daily bread's pretty much accounted for, right? For like a month, depending on the preservatives you have in your food. It's a different prayer for us now. Or it's not a different prayer, it's a different angle. We're provided for incredibly right now as far as food goes, as far as what we need. So I think this prayer for us is to trust God, one, so we stop worrying about everything. I worry about so much. I don't even want to list it lest I fall down crying because of all the things I worry about in my life. There's a long list, and I'm sure the same goes for you. So he wants us to trust and to stop worrying. And that idea crops up a lot of times in Jesus' teaching. Stop worrying. Each day's got enough trouble. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. But I think for us, give us this day our daily bread means we're content. A lot of times it's easy to look to the right or to the left and say, I want that. Okay, my stuff's okay, but I want that over there. My stuff's or to look over. At least I got more than them, but still I want more. I want to be over there. I want to have all that. So when we ask God for our daily bread, I think that's centering us into being content with what He gives us, because God's provided us a lot already. And then also, we talked about doing God's will. So what do we need? We need whatever it takes to do God's will. So I want you to pray that you would submit to God first in your prayer, submit to His will, and then trust that He'll give you what you need. These are simple things, but I know in my own life I didn't think of praying these and then letting that affect the rest of my day. So after submission and trust, we come to grace. And this is where I kind of, I don't know if I like this so much, God. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts. Yes, forgive me my sins, God, as we have forgiven our debtors. Whoa, God, I don't want to forgive other people. See, when someone hurts me, the only way I remain in control of the situation is to hold on to that anger or bitterness or whatever feeling comes up when someone hurts me or does me wrong. I'm sure you guys have all been in that situation. You would like to forgive them, but then you don't have control. And then, what if they don't get what they deserve? Yeah, the only way I know they're going to get what they deserve is if I give them a dirty look every time they come in the room. Then, they're getting what they deserve. I was talking with my father-in-law about this. We were driving around this week, doing some work for his video company. And I said, yeah, I forgive people. There's one individual in particular I was thinking of, and I say, yeah, I've forgiven him. Now, what he's done will always kind of shade how I think about him. It will always affect my opinion of him. And Gary looked at me, and he's a very kind guy, and he said, and I don't know if he said it exactly like this, but in as many words, that doesn't really sound like forgiveness. I verbalize, I've forgiven him, but I still kind of am bitter when I think about what happened and and I'm kind of angry about it when I think about it. Now, I understand that we need to forgive and then sometimes remember that that person treated us really wrong and that we shouldn't put ourselves in that situation again. That's one thing. But we can't let that kind of bleed over into our forgiveness and end up really not forgiving, but just saying that we did. And the reason this is such a big deal at the end of this, I'm going to skip ahead. Verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." Now that's scary. If I don't forgive someone else, God's not going to forgive me. Well, I think if we don't forgive someone else, we're not even capable of accepting that forgiveness. If we can't forgive someone for something minor in comparison to our long list of sins that we've committed against God, how can we accept that forgiveness from God? We don't even understand it. Because we can't forgive someone for gossip or being mean to me or the long list of things that people do to make us upset. Jesus wants us to live with grace. And by praying this prayer, we start off our day in a place where we're forgiving other people and accepting God's forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness every day. And we also need to be willing to give out that forgiveness. In fact, I would bet that's part of God's will, is for us to be a grace-filled community where we don't hold grudges, we don't remain bitter, where we love each other. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes that really tricky verse that love keeps no record of wrongs. Paul wasn't married. That's not fair. Like, because I just got a dirty look from Emily now, too. We tend to do that, right? As people are like, well, yeah, I forgive you, but don't forget. I'm going to write this down. And the next time we have an argument, boom, I win because you did this. But love doesn't do that, and we're supposed to love each other. And so to be in God's will, we need to live with grace. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. It's interesting that that's a past tense, right? As we have forgiven our debtors. So maybe this needs to be done before you come to God in prayer and say, God, I forgive you. And it doesn't have to be you seek that person out and say, I forgive you. I think that's more self-seeking at that point. Because you're just one, listen, I'm very holy and you're forgiven. Well, you can do that on your own. You don't need to go and tell them. Understanding we need grace and understanding we need to give grace. Finally, we need to live out the rest of our day with grace. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Paul's really smart, right? He didn't live to be that old or anything, but he was a wise guy. And he said to the church in Rome, "Are we to keep sinning so that grace may abound?" So these people in Rome, they thought that, well, God gives us all this grace, and he's an amazing God, and we want people to understand how much grace he gives. So I'm going to continue to sin so that God will use all this grace to keep covering up my sins. That's dumb. That's essentially what Paul says. Are we supposed to keep sinning so that grace may abound? No. No. Once you say, forgive us our debts, you're trying not to do those things again. And so when he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, I believe we're praying for wisdom to live those grace-filled lives the rest of the day. I know in my life, there's things that I do. There's situations I put myself into that I know I'm going to be tempted. The internet's great, right? But when we go to a website for news coverage or something like that, and we know that we're going to disagree, we know that we're going to get angry, we know we're going to think those people are just so dumb, yet we keep going to it, that's wrong. Like, I'm sinning. I'm being angry with someone when I shouldn't be. I'm creating these opinions about people based on what they wrote on the internet or something like that. That's just one area of my life where I go and read it, and afterwards I think, why did I do that? I just harbored all these ill feelings against my neighbor because of something he said about something that won't matter in 10 years. I would I would guess there's times in your lives where you know if you just avoid that situation, you won't be tempted. I think that's part of this prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Give me the wisdom to just stay away. Give me the wisdom to stay away from those things that will tempt me. Y'all aren't dumb. You know what tempts you. So stay away from it. Pray that God would give you that wisdom. But when you get stuck in a situation that you're not prepared for, deliver us from evil. God, give me the wisdom and strength to avoid those sins. God, you've forgiven me, but help me to live with that grace that I might not sin against you anymore. Now that's hard. We're going to mess up. Christ isn't telling us, and if you mess up, too bad. But he's saying, keep trying. Don't just give in. God, deliver us from temptation, or lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. This prayer makes me uncomfortable. As I was going through it this week, I kept kind of praying, God, maybe there's something else you'd rather me talk about. Because so far I've talked with you all about like communion and suffering, and I don't like these subjects. Like, this isn't just what I sit and think about. I wouldn't be a very happy person all the time. And maybe I'm not, I don't know. But this prayer is necessary. It's not something that I want you to go home and just recite all the time, because there's no power in the words. Just saying these words over and over isn't going to do anything. But it's something that if we think about and we truly mean what we're praying to God, I think it will affect our days profoundly. The effect on our lives if we pray this prayer, if we use this prayer as a springboard into our communications with God, could be amazing. So just to recap real quick, we need to give up my ego, my pride, and my will, and we need to submit to God. It's the first step. If we're not going to submit, then the rest of it doesn't really matter. We need to trust God and that He'll give us what we need. And we need to see that we need grace and we need to give grace. And that we need to live grace-filled lives after the fact. To get away from the stuff that tempts us. To remove ourselves from situations that we know are just going to be difficult sometimes. And to pray for God's strength in those other situations. Church, if we pray this prayer together, I think we'll be a church. Are you know those? We have a billboard out here, right, that says little cute sayings. One of them I really don't like is this church is prayer conditioned, because like it's 100 degrees out, and that's just so punny. I don't know. I don't like it. But I saw it yesterday, and I thought, what if we really were prayer conditioned? Ugh, I don't like it still. What if we really did do everything through this prayer? What if we did do everything where we submit to God and we submit to His will and we trust God and we live with grace? That's a church I want to associate with. That's a person I want to associate with. That's the person I want to be. So my challenge is simple. Pray this prayer. Use it as a starting point for each and every day. Don't just pray this prayer, but use it as a springboard to keep talking with God. Maybe this is all different to you right now. Maybe you think, "What? Submit to God? I've never submitted to God. Grace? I don't have that grace. I don't have what you're talking about." If that's something, if you don't have the grace of God in your life, if you don't have the forgiveness that Jesus gave us through His sacrifice on that cross, then today's a great day for you to start that life and start praying like this. If you need to talk to someone about that, if you want to talk to me or Rick, we'll be up here as the praise team closes it out. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and stand and pray that God would give us strength this week to do this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. This week, praying. We've got a prayer request here from Donna and Sheldon for Jenny Jasek and her health. If you just keep her in your prayers, that God would put his healing hand on her. I always forget to bring a bulletin up here, so I'm sure there's things that you need to know. Off the top of my head, we're going to meet tonight at 6. Randall? You bringing the message tonight? Be there for that. You don't have to listen to Rick, maybe. So he enjoys the vacation every month, and I know he wants you to enjoy it too. And next Sunday we'll be having a fifth Sunday sing. Do we know what time that's going to be at?
Two.
At 2 o'clock. And so there'll be no evening services next week. Anything else? Yes. Okay, when is the jump around stuff at? All right, August the 12th, we're going to be going to Seymour at 1:30 to jump around in their little jump area. Now, is it all ages? All ages. So, I'm looking at you, Doc. Jump around. All ages. Invite a friend. Invite some people to come to that. It'll be right around when school's about to start. It'll be a good time for all of us. John. Oh, yeah, men's fellowship tomorrow night. I'm going to be speaking at that, so if that makes you want to come or not, at least you know. And that's at starting at 6:30. That was more for me than you, but starting at 6:30. And if you volunteer to bring some food, it needs to be here by 6, ready to serve, because we will not wait. I think that's it.
Praise team will practice Saturday evening at 5
okay.
for a contemporary service next Sunday.
All right. There we go.
And please remember my mother-in-law, Bonnie. She's having surgery tomorrow on her back.
All right. And please pray this week. Pray that it would affect your everyday lives. Jesus wouldn't have it any other way. All right. Doc's brother is going to be having surgery on his back. Pray for him. He's got some health issues going on right now. Don, would you close us out in prayer?